Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's a pleasure to be together and good to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's take our Bibles for a scripture reading to the Gospel of Luke this morning. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. We're going to be reading beginning with verse 26. And let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 1. And now beginning with verse 26, would you read in unison together with me? The Bible says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And we'll stop there in our reading. As we see the angel appearing to Mary and making this awesome announcement to her that she is going to bear the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to be looking at personalities of Christmas. Now, we're not going to be talking about Mr. Claus or Rudolph, all right? You know, as Christian people, we must celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. And Jesus, of course, is the wonderful person whose birth we celebrate. We understand that he is the reason for the season. You know, there's some people, there's some well-meaning, perhaps Christian people who don't celebrate Christmas. And I almost take offense to that because I think that as Christians, if anybody should celebrate the true meaning of Christmas, it ought to be the believers. And so we ought to keep Christ the center focus, though, of everything and honor him and exalt his name. And that is very important. And so Christmas, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas itself means Christ celebration, Christ celebration, and it is his birthday. Now, we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ did not come into existence when he was born, but rather God came from heaven. Jesus, who has always existed, he is the eternal God. The Bible tells us that Jesus was active in the creation of the world. Colossians chapter 1, for an example. Jesus was active in creating the world, but in a point in history, 2,000 years ago, Jesus left heaven and he came and he took on, as Philippians chapter 2 says, he took on flesh, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, Philippians 2 says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And so celebrating his first coming, when he came and became a man, a real man like us, human flesh, so that he could save us from our sin. It's a wonderful story. A wonderful story of God's love and God's plan of redemption for you and for me. Now, as we think about personalities of Christmas, today, as we look to Luke chapter 1, we're going to be focusing today on Mary as one of the personalities in the Christmas story. And we read here of how the angel came to Mary. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, we read that it was in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now the reference here to the sixth month, I believe, actually refers to the previous words here in this chapter, which are when Elizabeth was to have a child, and she was 6 months along. And so this announcement comes when Elizabeth was 6 months in carrying John, who would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. And so that's what I understand there. You can also see that a little further in verse 36 of chapter 1. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. At any rate, we see that the angel Gabriel appears here in verse 26 to Mary. And it says, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Mary was a godly woman. And I want you to note this first off. As we think about the personalities of Christmas, and in this case, Mary, who is a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. So number one, I want you to notice that she was a God-honoring woman. Mary was a God-honoring woman. God delighted to use this vessel because she was God-honoring. Notice verse 28. It says, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. She was highly favored. Now, question. Was Mary a sinner like you and I are sinners? Absolutely she was. She was a sinner. Yes. She wasn't perfect in the sense that she was sinless. She had her battles and struggles. She was a sinner who needed the Savior. In fact, skip forward a little bit to verse 46 of chapter 1. Verse 46, by Mary's own words here later on, praising the Lord, she says this in verse 46, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, you don't need a Savior unless you're lost. You don't need a Savior unless you're lost. Mary was a sinner. She was a sinner just like us. She wasn't different than us in the sense of her humanity. Okay? I want you to understand that. I want to just take an opportunity to say this about Mary. Mary is not to be venerated. She's not to be worshipped. Venerated means to be exalted, worshipped, bowed down to, prayed to, that kind of thing. Mary is not to be worshipped. Yet, there is major teaching out there that does venerate Mary, that does worship Mary, that does pray to Mary, which is unbiblical, and it's actually idolatry. Makes an idol out of Mary, all right? And that is wrong. It is unbiblical. It is ungodly. Please notice, if you would, Luke chapter 4. Just skip down here to Luke chapter 4. Please look at verse 7. we are diving right into when Jesus was being tempted of the devil in the wilderness, okay? Hopefully you're a little bit familiar with that. And we're just jumping right in the middle here. And the devil is speaking here in verse 7 and of chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." So the devil is holding out to the Lord Jesus and saying, if you'll just worship me, I will give you all of this that he's talking about. Verse 8, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So who are we to worship? God. It goes through the commandments too, the first commandment, you know. God is number one. Keep him first. Number two is don't make yourselves any graven images. Don't bow down to them nor serve them, right? The third commandment is don't use his name as a curse word. Keep his name holy. And all those things have to do with the character, with the worship of God. And so we understand here, Jesus, of course, in verse 8 is quoting from the Old Testament as he rebukes the devil for the temptation of which he was promoting here. And the Lord Jesus says to him, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now, we could go to other passages to talk about how we should only worship God and certainly not Mary or any other saint for that matter. And by the way, since we're talking about saints, if you're saved, God calls you a saint. In fact, God is the one who more often refers to the believer as a saint, right? Because, why? We're washed in the blood of Christ. We are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. Our sins taken away, and we're given his righteousness. And so we are called saints, all right? And I want you to go now to Revelation 22 very quickly, the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. Looking at verse 8, Revelation 22 and verse 8. Now, if you have a little bit of an idea of how John, the Apostle John, received so much of revelation here in the book of Revelation, he received so much. And as we come to the very last chapter, I want you to notice verse 8. So 22 of Revelation, verse 8. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book." Say those last two words. Worship God. Worship God. God. So, very clearly, the Bible repeatedly tells us that we should only worship God. So, Mary is never to be venerated. Secondly, I want you to also notice that Mary is never to be prayed to. Yet, many good-meaning people pray to Mary often and are taught so by the false teachings of their church. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." When we pray, we are taught through the scriptures to pray in Jesus' name. It is through Jesus that we can approach the throne of God. It is through Jesus' name, through Jesus' blood that was shed to cover our sin. It is Jesus. It is his name. Only through his name can we be saved. There's no other name, Acts 4:12, given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. Also, prayer is only in the name of Jesus. It's not in the name of John the Baptist. It's not in the name of of the disciple John. It's not in the name of Matthew. It's not in the name of Mother Teresa. It's not in the name of any other person, or Mary for that matter, right? It's the name of Jesus. The Bible says he is the only mediator. A mediator is someone who goes between two parties. And Jesus is the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So understand those things. Now, as we talk about Mary, I want you to see that she was a God-honoring woman. She was a prepared vessel. Now, here we are in 1 Timothy. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll pick up in verse 20. Notice what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but some of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." So, catch that verse 21 again. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these. Now, if we were going to inquire of what is the these, what is he talking about, we'd have to read back a little farther to understand. For example, verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Iniquity is a big word for sin, and it has the emphasis of stubborn, self-willed sin. And so the Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so that gives us just a little bit of an idea of what it says here to purge ourselves from in verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these. Purge means to cleanse. You know, sometimes on a farm or rural property, you would have a well. And sometimes that well would need purging, right? And there's a few different methods, but maybe bleach would be employed. And that well would be pumped, and bleach would be added. And I don't know the exact process there, but you know, there would be a purging to cleanse the well and to seek to purify it so that it might produce quality water. Obviously, if the water continuing to come is bad, it's not going to work. But if the well is just stale and just needs a good purging, it can be cleansed and then be a good well for years to come. So the Bible is talking here that if we as a person, if we are will allow God to purge our life. So verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto, next word, honor. Sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. Sanctified and meet. This idea of meet means acceptable or fitting. Meet for the master's use. So in other words, we can be a vessel that God can use. And that's really what Mary was. She was a purged vessel. She was a meet vessel. In other words, she was prepared. She was fitting for this high calling. Question I have, whether you're a man or a lady, you don't have to be a woman. Are you fitting for the master's use? You say, "Oh, boy, I'm a dirty well, you know. I got some bad water." Well, hey, you can be purged. We're all dirty wells, right? And again, we go back. Mary was not sinless. She needed the Savior too. She would have died and gone to hell without the Savior. Let's just be very frank. She needed the blood of Jesus Christ to cover her sin. We, as lost people, need to trust the Savior. But as saved people, we also need to walk in the light. We also need to cultivate a heart for God. You know, we maybe are the well, right? Because we're saved. We have the well. The well is functioning. There's water going out, as it were, illustratively. But maybe our well has become contaminated, right? God can purge our well. With God's help, we can get wrongs right, and we can get to a better state. We can get to a place where we're walking with God, where we're walking in the light, where we've dealt with things that were wrong in our life. We've confessed those. We've seen God cleanse us. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, are we a vessel? As we think about the Christmas story, as we think about Mary, she was a vessel that was fitting for the Master's use. Now, I recognize that God has something different for you than He had for Mary. She had a high calling, a wonderful thing God was doing in her life and through her. But you know what? God also has a high calling for you. There's no low callings when the King calls. There's no second-rate call. There's no, second-rate plan. Listen, if God has a purpose for your life, and He does, it's a high calling. And the Bible tells us that very clearly as well. And so, are we a vessel that is prepared? We see Mary as a vessel that was prepared. I want you to also notice a second thing, that she was a God-surrendered woman. Not only was she a God-honoring woman, but she was a God-surrendered woman. Notice verse 38, back over here in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. She was a God-surrendered woman. Now, I'll back up since we didn't read all of these verses. And the angel is still talking to her, verse 31, and says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was confused. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And now notice Mary's response. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Be it unto me according to thy word. She was a God-surrendered woman. Not only a God-honoring woman, but a God-surrendered woman. Are you surrendered to God? Woman or otherwise, are you surrendered to God? Are you that vessel that is willing to do God's will? God may not send you an angel to tell you His plan, but He is glad to show His will to those who seriously seek Him for it. God may not send an angel, to tell you his plan, but he is glad to show you his will. He is glad to show his will to those who seriously seek him for it. God does have a plan for your life. I want you to notice another aspect about Mary. She was a God-trusting woman. She was a God-trusting woman. Notice verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Elizabeth is her cousin. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. That's John, little John, baby John, in the womb of Elizabeth. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she, this is Elizabeth speaking, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Do you believe God? Are you a God-trusting person? Sometimes God gives us things that we can't handle. You know, Mary trusted God. She was a God-trusting woman. And you know what? I mean, here she is. She's been seeking to honor God. She's engaged to a good man, Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter. He was hardworking, but he wasn't just hardworking. He was a godly man. He was a man who could be trusted. He was honest. He worshiped the Lord. Mary and Joseph had a God-honoring relationship in their engagement, in their espousal, as it was called then. And, you know, Mary here, as I understand the scriptures, the angel appears to her and says, you know, you're with child. You're going to be with child of the Holy Ghost. And she's, of course, quite puzzled about this whole thing. This has never happened before. And this is just awesome. But there's also the element of, how do you talk to Joseph about this, right? I mean, and the Bible says she went with haste into the hill country of Judea. She went to visit her cousin. Now, the angel had said, your cousin is with child, miraculously. Like, her cousin Elizabeth was up in years. And so was Zacharias. Now, Mary goes off quickly. Probably gave just a short, you know, hey Joseph, I'm going to go visit my cousin for a while, you know. Probably didn't tell Joseph what was going on. She just needed some space, needed some time. She went over there. She was there, the Bible says, for 3 months with Elizabeth. And all the good things there, Elizabeth understood. In fact, Elizabeth knew even before Mary got there. Or right when Mary got there, Elizabeth praised the Lord and knew everything. Mary didn't have to say a thing. But you know what? 3 months later, and perhaps Mary was 3 months along by this time, there was no denying the fact that something spectacular had happened. She was carrying a child. And she goes back to back home and back to Joseph, and they were engaged, but goes back to, you know, her parents' house and has to talk to Joseph and break the news and try to explain it to him. And Joseph is just so blown away. He's just so distraught. How could this be? I mean, how could Mary have been unfaithful to me? I mean, Joseph knew the child wasn't his. And he was very confused. And as the scripture in Matthew records, Joseph was minded to put Mary away. In other words, not marry her. To call off, but do it privately, do it silently, that, you know, he was just very confused. And while he thought on these things, an angel appeared to him and let him know what was going on. But I want you to see how Mary trusted God. She was a God-honoring woman. She was a God-surrendered woman. She was a God-trusting woman. Now, I'd like you to go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs, right in the middle of the Bible, just after the Psalms. Proverbs 31. And notice verse 30. Proverbs 31. And verse 30. The Bible says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is the kind of woman Mary was. Of her beauty, I suppose she probably was beautiful. But you know, the fact of the matter is, there was a deeper treasure in this woman's life. She was going to honor God. She trusted God. The way she carried herself. This is one reason Joseph was so confused. Is because Mary was not a promiscuous, you know, running with that kind of crowd, late night party kind of. No. Mary was not that kind of a woman. She wasn't a flirt. She was a godly woman, and it showed. Now, let me say this. What kind of a woman, if you're a gentleman here today, what kind of a woman will you look for? That's a good example. Because I'll tell you what, if you have a woman who is not God-honoring, if you have a woman who is, you know, pushing the boundaries, disrespectful to her parents, immodest in the way she dresses, you know what? I'll just say it right now. You got trouble, right? You got trouble. Now, can she, you know, can things change down the road? Yes. But that is not the kind of woman that a God-fearing man like Joseph, or like, if you're a God-fearing man, that's not the kind of woman we should be falling for, right? We should be seeking a woman who knows the Lord, who loves the Lord, and it shows in the way she carries herself. A woman who has discernment. A woman who is respectful to her parents. A woman who is modest in her attire. Those are things that are important signs of what's going on in someone's heart, who they are inside. So the Bible says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I wasn't married until I was 29 years old. It's a bit later in life, I suppose, by some standards. But you know what? I didn't fall for, I don't want to put it in the wrong light, but I didn't fall for others who came along, or others who may have wanted to come along. I don't know, right? I wanted God's will, and I sought the Lord, and I got the best of both worlds, because not only did I get a God-fearing woman, but I got a beautiful woman on top of it. So it was double bonus. But you know what? I'm thankful for my wife, and I see the testimony in Mary's life of the kind of woman she was. And lastly, I'll wrap this up. Number four, she was a God-blessed woman. A God-blessed woman. Not only a God-honoring woman, a God-surrendered woman, a God-trusting woman, but a God-blessed woman. Notice Luke chapter 1 again, and verse 28. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel is talking to Mary and says, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Notice also verse 48. verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Here's Mary's own words. And she admitted that she was not much. I mean, she was poverty, in the poverty, you know, class, right? And she says, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Blessed. You know what? The greatest thing you could do in your life is to do the will of God. Psalm 1 talks about the blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Psalm 1 tells us. And so, are you going to be that blessed follower of Jesus? Mary was a virtuous woman. She was a sinner who needed the Savior, but she was surrendered to the Lord and obedient to the Lord. How is it with you? With heads bowed, with eyes closed, maybe it could be that you're not even saved. I'll tell you, you'll never be a God-blessed woman or a God-blessed man until you get saved and receive the forgiveness of sin that only Jesus can give. To others who are saved, are we a vessel that is useful to the Master? What needs to be purged out of your life that would hinder, that is hindering God from fulfilling His will in you?